Hey everybody, welcome to Ed Show number 57. 57. It's like a Canadian rapper, right? 57 cent?
57 cent with the exchange rate.
We've got some news, Rick. What's happening in the news today?
Well, one thing that's actually in the news that we should talk about is a conference, a little small conference you might have heard of before in Las Vegas. And I don't mean CES.
No?
And I don't mean that other adult-themed one that's there.
Yeah, because that's appropriate to talk about, Rick.
You got it. We're talking about Microsoft Management Summit 2013. URL is?
www.2013mms.com. 2013mms.com.
I have registered, but I have not gotten my confirmation yet. I think I have a hotel. We'll find out for sure when I arrive, because I know I bought my plane ticket to get there.
There's nothing like Rick being prepared.
You got it.
So Microsoft Management Summit, April 8th through the 12th. That's next week.
Yep.
We're going to be there.
Yes, we will be live. We'll be live there. But
yes.
The recordings will be recorded. Live.
That's the reason they're called
there.
Recordings, right?
You got it. They'll be there.
So basically we're going to be doing a lot of different episodes of this very show, The Ed Show. Lots of technical interviews, a lot of product managers and folks around a bunch of technologies.
Including community members. Too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Some community folks involved, some non-Microsoft folks, some MVPs. So
yep.
Check us out there. Be right up on the homepage of Channel 9. Also click the events tab. You'll see MMS.
And if you're at the event, we are in the registration area.
In attendee services.
Attendee services,
it will be on the second floor of the South Convention Center. It's where the hands-on labs are. It's also where the alumni lounge is. So you can check us out there. You can't miss us. It's going to be one big TV studio thing. With not flashing lights. At least I hope the lights don't flash, because that would be a bad thing. But come check us out as we record videos for four entire days. And also be sure we always kind of do a little bit of a fun video. So I think we're going to be doing another fun video as we arrive on Saturday. So that should be up hopefully Sunday night. So check out the Ed Show for that and some fun and chaos around the Microsoft Management Summit.
You are going to let me in on what this fun video is, I assume, right?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so next up on the news, we have Corporate Vice President Brad Anderson is now doing a podcast.
He's doing a podcast. Well, he started off with a blog, and he's also decided to do a podcast as well. And now it's the old classic, old school, just the audio, because it's easier, more natural, and it's easy to be able to go off and record. And so he's now actually publishing that at blogs.tethnet.com/in the cloud, I think is the title of it. But we have a nice short URL, if you guys remember, which is aka.ms/in the cloud.
Yes, absolutely. And episode number one has already been posted. It's the In the Cloud podcast, as Rick mentioned. Brad's really bringing a lot of his experience and knowledge, talking with a lot of customers and what's happening with the In the Cloud podcast. And actually, we'll chat with Brad next week while we're in Vegas as well. So and we'll see what he's up to.
In case you don't know, Brad Anderson is the corporate vice president of Server and Tools. So he's very knowledgeable on what's going on. And actually, reading the blog, he's actually responding to the comments. Like, people are commenting on stuff, and Brad's coming back and responding.
Phenomenal.
So he does long responses. That's why I know it's him. It's not just like a three-word LOL or something like that.
He's actually getting in-depth in the conversation.
Yeah.
So we've been home for a little while.
Yes, it's been nice to enjoy the sea and the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, the studio and things like that.
Exactly. But we're going to be headed back out on the road, of course, next week, MMS, and then back for a little bit. And then San Antonio and Austin for the Office Hours Live Tour.
And just to make sure, that's in Texas, right? San Antonio, Texas, and Austin,
yes.
Texas, for
yes.
those of us that are geographically challenged.
Right.
So does that mean that I'll be experiencing yet again more barbecue?
Yes, absolutely. You will have meat sweats.
Meat sweats again.
Yes, absolutely. Lovely. Absolutely. So for more information on the Office Hours Live Tour, check out aka.ms/Office Hours Live.
Those are free. They're free. We're both there. We're taking lots of questions. Very good interaction, and they're free to attend.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
Thanks to our partners in the learning space.
Yep,
like,
exactly.
New Horizons does.
New Horizons is exactly who we'll be with in San Antonio and Austin. So be sure to check us out. Come check out Office Hours Live. Get your questions answered on Windows Server 2012 and Windows 8. And again, the concept of this is we've got no slides. Actually, just a couple, three. Like our pictures and then what we do. And then, of course, there's the resources slide. That's it. Everything else is driven by you, the audience. So really, we appreciate you. Come check that out. All the registration links, again, aka.ms/Office Hours Live. So come check us out. And that, my friend, is it for the news.
Woo, I guess I better go and get ready to pack for MMS.
Get ready to pack for Vegas. Up next, I'm going to chat a little bit of Windows 8 line of business applications with Robert Green, so stick around.
Oh, cool.
All right, everybody. So with me today, I have technical evangelist Robert Green. Robert, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you sit across the hall from me.
I sit across the hall from you, and I'm usually on that side on these shows. I've never actually been the guest on one of these shows. I've only hosted.
So welcome to that side of the chair, then.
Thank you.
So you're a dev guy.
Yes.
And we're here in front of all my IT folks here, and don't turn off at home. There's a reason I brought Robert here, and I want to talk about Windows 8 applications. Right, native Windows 8 applications.
Yes.
And the main reason for this, Robert, is when Rick and I are kind of out doing this tour, we're talking about Windows Server 2012, Windows 8. One of the common questions that I get all the time is like, why Windows 8 in the enterprise?
Yes.
Specifically around what are applications that I would run on Windows 8? I don't see a value for this start screen inside of my enterprise.
So, I'm going to have to disagree with that statement.
You're going to disagree? Okay.
Great value.
Okay.
Start screen inside.
So talk to people at home. Tell them why. Tell them why.
So behind me, we have the start screen here.
Mm-hmm.
And the start screen is, it's essentially like the desktop in Windows 7. So you fire up Windows 7, you got your desktop, which is a picture, and then a bunch of icons. And those icons, little teeny tiny icons, represent apps you can run.
Yeah.
Or files that, when you double-click on them, an app runs. And it just tells you what you can do.
Okay.
It's giving you no other information other than these are shortcuts you put in your desktop.
Right.
But that's pretty valuable. But it's not information. The start screen, on the other hand, you can think of it as two things. One, of course, it's a picture.
Okay.
And it's tiles. These tiles are larger, and each of these tiles represents an app that I can launch.
Right.
But notice that these tiles are giving me information.
Sure. Yeah,
these
I
are
see
live
weather
tiles.
Updates. So,
for example, the Mail app is showing me, is cycling through the most recent emails I've gotten in this case, both my work email as well as my personal email.
Yeah, I see you've got some wine club that you need to.
I do. See, that's extremely important
information.
Then the calendar app below that is telling me what my next appointment is and where. The finance app below that is showing me news headlines, and it's also showing me the Dow and the NASDAQ, etc. So these apps aren't running at this point.
Okay.
Mind you, these apps have essentially registered themselves with Windows.
Okay.
And these apps ask Windows on a periodic basis, go out and call a service, bring back some information, and update the tile.
All right.
So the Mail app is calling our Exchange server here on Office 365, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Or for my personal, it's calling the Outlook.com server.
Mm-hmm.
The Finance app is calling the Bing server. The Sports app, to the right of that, the most important app I have on this computer, of course, is calling
right there with you,
the
buddy.
Bing service. Now, you can do this not only in consumer apps like this, but you can also do this in business apps. So if you look to the left of there, you'll see a couple apps. That one on the top is an expense reporting app, which is calling our internal expense report server and returning the information that I have four outstanding charges for $267, so maybe I want to consider filing an expense report soon.
Okay.
Below that insurance app, which is showing that 36, this is the Highland app that is aimed at insurance adjusters for those using the on-base server. And it's showing that 36, which could be the number of open claims I have. So it's giving me information. So you can create an internal line of business app that is showing things like number of machines that are down on the factory floor, or what your run rate is compared to what you're expecting it to be. Number of, and I'm in a hotel scenario, the manager comes in, turns on their computer, and sees how many guests filed complaints last night and how many of them are outstanding. So your start screen is not just showing you the apps you can run, it's your dashboard.
And it's not just showing all that personal stuff, you're getting that business data as
absolutely
well.
Absolutely.
And you don't even have to open these applications.
It's correct.
Start it up, boom, there you got
exactly
the information.
Exactly.
There.
And you can, of course, take all your personal stuff and move it off to the side. You can have your business stuff up front, and you have to, scroll over to the consumer side. Of course, we put, those apps in the middle there by default, ship right all the way over to the left. But you can rearrange the start screen any way you want. And in addition to the live tiles, you have the ability to do what we call secondary tiles. So okay. For example, this Push BI app, which is going out and pulling back from servers a variety of information. If I scroll over, here are all the things that I need to know, expense violations, incident response time, etc., problem queue rate. So I tap into that, it brings down information, I can see what's going on, but I want to be able to follow this. So if I just swipe up on the app bar, I can pin this to the start screen. Problem queue rate. Okay, and now, watch what happens. If I go back to the start, just to show there's no tricks up my sleeve,
right.
Close this app, go all the way down to the end, notice there's a live secondary tile,
okay.
Which I am now going to pick up with my finger and drag all the way. It's actually a little bit easier to do if we use Semantically Zoom.
You've got a lot of items on your desktop.
All the way over to here, and I'm going to create a brand new category for that, okay? And then I'm going to do a couple more. So what's a good one? Oh, sales revenue. That's probably important.
Yep.
So I'm going to pin that. And then what else is good? Retail gross margin. Okay, that's a good one. So I'm going to pin that.
So really what you're able to do is have your own custom environment about the things that you care about.
Right.
And they're all right there and all available
for
you.
So now I'm going to take this whole group. Actually, I don't want this one in that group. Go away. I'm going to take this group. So it works easier if you're semantically zooming.
Yeah, there you go.
Bring it over to there. And now I have these three things pinging the server and always on. So tomorrow, when I turn on my computer, I can see sales revenue, retail gross margin, problem queue rate. I say, oh, what's up with that? I tap that, the app launches, and I go directly to that.
That's awesome.
Without having to start the app, without having to search around. So this, in and of itself, I think is a killer use of Windows 8 in the enterprise, in businesses. The fact that my machine is getting information, it's totally customizable, it's the information I want, and showing me information on the start screen, I turn on my computer, it's my dashboard. So I'm looking at my PKIs. I don't have to launch each of these apps. Let's say you've got, 25 pieces of information you want mm-hmm. spread out over 13 different apps. That's a lot of digging. You'd be to take you half an hour up to an hour to find out the information
sure.
you want to know. Now it's right there updating on a regular basis, and you can throttle, you can decide how often you want to go mm-hmm. ping, right? The calendar app doesn't need to ping as often as the finance app, right? The finance app is probably pinging at least every 15 minutes to show me what the numbers are doing. Sales revenue number, maybe I just needed to go out there once a day. I don't know how often, the revenue is reported, but you can decide inside, as you're writing the app, you can decide how often you want to go out and ping for this information.
So,
and it's simple to do. It's a handful of lines of code to create, to call some data, create these secondary tiles or to update the information on the live tile. It's a very, very simple program.
And I love the fact that you talk about how that start screen is far beyond just a place where I get all my sports info
right.
and those things, that you can make it your personal BI portal.
And I mean, it started on the phone, right? I mean, in the past, I love telling this story, I would go home and I wouldn't necessarily check email all the time at home because
right.
What do you got to do? You got to go upstairs. You got to turn on the computer. You got to wait for the computer to turn on.
Right.
Then you got to launch Outlook. Wait for that to start just to see whether or not you have mail.
Right.
Then shut it off. Go downstairs. It's not worth it. Now with this,
yeah.
I press this button. I
and
can immediately see. I'm constantly doing this. And then,
yeah.
I got mail. Swipe
yeah,
up. Bam, bam, tap, tap, don't have to worry about it, I'm done. Right? Takes me 15 seconds. Now, of course, my wife tells me that I have no work-life balance, but I'll argue, and I of course do, I'll say, no, I'm being very, very efficient. Because in the morning when I wake up, I can look at mail, and I understand, at least, up to the time I left, that I don't have any critical emails, I know what's going mm-hmm. on. Right? This is essentially that taken to the next level. I come into the office, I sit down, I turn on my computer. Here's everything I need to know about what's happened, what's going on. We can come up with all kinds of examples. Let me give you one more. You are And this insurance app, let's launch this OnBase app. And these are claims, okay? So I know that I need to talk to these guys today. So
yep.
Millard Fillmore, who got into an accident, okay? Turns out our early presidents were terrible drivers. In fact, you know, all right, so this is one accident, right? So four different pictures. I have seen versions of this app where there's like three different cars in here. So he got in a crash,
yep.
Then he went and got in another one, and then he went and rented a car and crashed that. So I know I need to talk to this guy, so I'm going
to
pin this.
But you didn't have to go through a whole bunch of things to figure all that out. It was literally one click, boom, you're in.
Right.
And then you can even pin this individual claim up, and you call that a secondary title, correct?
Yes. So I know I'm going to talk to Millard Fillmore today. I pinned that to the start. So again, what I'm going to do is have on the start screen tiles for everybody I need to call today. And the main app, the main tile of the app is telling me when I need to call them, right?
Well,
I got an appointment with Millard Fillmore at 1 o'clock. So 1 o'clock comes around. This tile, the secondary tile, is giving me information, reminding me. I'm about ready to call the guy. I just tap that. I go straight to his record while I'm waiting for him to answer on the phone. Makes me extremely efficient, right? The more efficient you are, the better you're able to manage information, right?
You've got me sold.
The lower the cost, the higher the profit.
And helping your business. And really, yes. That is kind of, there's this change in IT where, you know, IT, we're under so much pressure. It's, you know, we're constantly dealing with that firefighting aspect.
Exactly.
But business is telling us, dude, you can't just be this money pit that we're sinking money into.
Right.
You need to provide us some value.
And in business, you turn on your computer to manage some type of information, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially why you turn on the computer in the morning in a business setting.
Sure.
What is the information that I need to manage? What is the information that matters most to me? Right? Here it is on the start screen. Here it is inside the apps. Make it very, very easy to get to. Make people much more efficient. And yes, you can write these apps in the other platforms, right?
Right.
This insurance app you could write on iOS or on Android.
Sure.
You could write all of these apps on those other platforms, but they don't have the live tiles. They don't have the live secondary tiles. They don't have, you know, the ability from the secondary tile to tap it and go straight into where you are. They don't have the ability to present you with this kind of information. They certainly don't have it, the ability to do that as easily as we have.
Right. So we've got the application. You've built this amazing application that's going to give us all of this information and all of this knowledge. The next piece that we deal with from our standpoint, from the IT pro land, how do we get that application deployed? Because deploying Windows 8 applications is a little bit different than the normal installation process that we're used to dealing with.
Right.
So let's talk about that a little bit. That process, sideloading.
Well, there's two ways you can get apps on the device.
Okay.
The store.
Yes.
And sideloading.
All right. So I can submit an application to the public Windows Store.
Yes, you can.
Or want this? It's a custom app that I want just in house.
Well, let's not dismiss that.
Okay.
Just yet.
All right.
We may dismiss it, but let's not dismiss it just yet. All right. This Highland app is a perfect example. Is designed for people who have subscribed to their server,
okay.
to their service.
Right.
They ask themselves, what's the best way to get this out to customers? Put it in the store. You put it in the store, and you don't have to worry about the deployment plumbing. Because
right.
we take care of that for you.
Right.
Secondly, when people ask, where is this app? You say, it's in the store. So I go into the store, and let me do a search for Highland in the store. There it is, the OnBase Insurance Field Adjuster. There it is. This app is free in the store. And what they've done is when you download the app and when you first run it, it shows demo data. So for these guys, it's free advertising.
Sure.
These guys are now telling other insurance field adjusters, this is what the experience would be like if you actually used this app.
Okay.
Now, there are somebody like me. I have this app. I don't necessarily subscribe to their service, so I get to play around with the demo data. But if I really am a customer of theirs, then I just go into the settings, and I go to connection settings, and I say, don't use demo data, and I enter my server. As long as I have the credentials, the server or the username and password or whatever it takes, then the application switches from the static demo data to using the real live data.
Okay.
Citrix Receiver is another perfect example of this.
Yes, absolutely.
That app is in the store for free. You download it, and if you enter your credentials, then you can start using it.
Yep.
So, you know, you should at least think about doing that.
Okay.
You know, if you're building an app and there's going to be 10 people on the third floor using it, you probably aren't going to go through the store. But let's say we as Microsoft were going to do our expense reporting app.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, we could do it internally, but maybe we decide, you know what, it's just easier to put the app in the store, and we could decide when you launch that app, what do? You may just... you know, have a message that says, oh, glad you're interested in this, but it's only for our employees. You know, click here to view the fine Microsoft products that you can buy at the Microsoft store.
Sure.
And do you have a Surface yet? And here's a video for that. So,
but if I'm
advertising.
If I'm not comfortable,
okay.
Right?
If you're not comfortable with that.
It's one of those things. And sure. It goes beyond just the 10 users, right? I mean, we may be a large scale enterprise organization. We're really, you know, kind of focused on our proprietary data,
don't necessarily want people to know we have this app. We don't necessarily want. I guess there's a risk that someone will download your app and put a review that says, "Oh, stupid app, doesn't work."
Yeah, exactly.
Ignoring the fact
that
of course it doesn't work because you don't work here.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So in that case, the other option is called sideloading.
All right, and I can do that. Through just PowerShell, or can I create my own store? What are the options that we have available there?
So option number one would be to run PowerShell.
Okay.
When you create a project in Visual Studio, you can generate the app package, which is the appx file, and Visual Studio will then also generate the PowerShell script for you.
Okay.
You can write your own PowerShell scripts, or you can use the ones we create. You basically run that script. And at that point, the application will be installed, provided that you meet one of two requirements.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the caveats, folks.
There are caveats. So, to sideload for testing, all you need is a developer license.
Okay.
Okay, the developer licenses are free. To get a developer license, you need a Microsoft account and an internet connection.
Okay.
And we'll give you I believe it's a 30-day developer license, and after 30 days it expires, and you can renew it just by asking.
Okay.
So for testing, if I built an app and I want you to just test it.
Sure.
I can just give you the PowerShell script and the appx file. You run that. If you don't have a developer license, you'll be prompted for one, and then you now have a license to test that app.
Okay.
Okay. So that you can always do. Now we've tested the app, and now it's time to put it out into production.
Yes.
So at this point, machines need to be sideloading enabled.
Okay.
To enable you to legally run that application in production.
Okay.
So for sideloading enabled, if you're running Windows 8 Enterprise and your domain joined,
okay,
then you are automatically sideloading enabled.
So Windows 8 Enterprise, domain join machine,
yes.
I can sideload, don't have to do anything else.
Correct. You are already sideloading enabled.
What if I'm not running Enterprise?
Okay. If you are running Enterprise and not domain joined,
okay.
Or you're running Windows 8 Pro, uh-huh. Or you're running Windows RT, then you need
Surface?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you need to acquire the sideloading keys,
okay.
Which you can get through your volume license.
Okay, and so those are available. You buy them in packs. They come if you've got software assurance. If you have
enterprise agreement or select agreement with software assurance, then you get them for free.
Okay, all
right. So it's really don't have software assurance, enterprise not sideloading enabled, Windows 8 Pro or RT, then you. Would have to go acquire.
You need to go purchase those keys.
Yes.
Okay. All
At
right.
At that point, you can sideload enable the machine by running a script, and at that point, the machine's sideloading enabled, and then you run the exact same PowerShell script, and the app installs, and now you can run it.
Okay. What about automating this installation a little bit? I mean, so. Okay, it's great. Right. I sit across the hall from you, and you can run a USB key across to me
sure.
with the
by
latest
By the time you've
app,
done it
right?
10 times, it starts to get old.
Yeah,
10 down, 4,990 to go.
And my USB key is wearing out from putting it in the machine and taking it out. Yeah.
So on domain join machines, you can push these out using SCCM the same way that you would push desktop applications out today.
Okay, so, if you're using System Center, there you go.
If you're using System Center, then you can automate the pushing out. If you aren't using System Center and you want to go to more of a pull model, you could use Intune.
Okay.
So with Intune, you create the catalog, and then Intune actually ships with, or supplies, it doesn't ship with it, in the store, you can get an app, a sort of a company portal app.
Okay.
That users would run, and then they would see the apps that are in your catalog, and they could install them from there.
So kind of my own little mini store for my company.
It kind of looks something like this. Here's a version that we use internally, and if I'm not mistaken, the System Center ships with this or is going to be shipping with something that looks like this.
Yeah, it's an additional download.
Right.
Download, pretty easy to do.
Right. So, you know, here's the, I go to all categories, and this is just going to, you know, the application catalog in System Center. I've got, you know, regular desktop apps here. I've got Windows 8 apps here. And then I could pick a particular app and then just click install, right?
So the key points being here, you want to make sure that your machines are enabled for sideloading.
Yes.
So that would be an enterprise license, running Windows 8 Enterprise domain joined.
Yep.
Or if you're not domain joined, running Pro, acquire those sideloading keys. Also, Windows Intune is also a manner of which, I'm sorry, not Intune, but Intune can deploy the app. But make sure you've got those sideloading keys. You can purchase them as well in packs if they're not part of your enterprise agreement.
Right.
And then you can deploy PowerShell. I also know that we can do DISM.
You can do DISM. You can preload. You know, certainly for some app that you want everybody to have, you can make it part of the image. It won't, the app won't run until the machine is sideloading enabled.
Right.
But it's on there and part of the image.
Okay.
Yep, so you could do that.
And then we deploy the app through System Center, also Windows Intune, creating our own custom portals.
Exactly.
And then you can get exactly that information out to your users where now my start screen is my portal for my daily work.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So hopefully, folks at home, that has helped a lot. I get this question all the time out there. People are just like, okay, I don't have touch. I don't have touch. What's the point? And the start screen, yeah, okay, that's great to see my kids' pictures, but not really seeing it. So I think it's fantastic that you get that dashboard-like experience.
The other thing to, I hear that as well, this idea that Windows 8 is all about touch. But if you think about it, if you can tap it with your finger, you can click it with your mouse.
Exactly.
And if you can type on a keyboard, whether it's on screen or built into the computer or a machine you plugged in, a keyboard you plug in through USB or through Bluetooth. The general guideline is any app you build needs to work as well with touch as it does with mouse.
Okay.
There are some games that probably work better with touch, but you know, in general, if you can do it with the finger, you can do it with the mouse. In my office, I've got Windows 8 running on a desktop machine, an old desktop with a monitor that can be touched, but all you do
it
is smudge
it.
Then I've got this machine, it's an X220. This display is touch capable, so if I'm not at my desk, I'm mostly touch.
Sure.
Although I still got to admit, I do Alt-Tab to bounce from app to app because it's the easiest way and my fingers are trained to be that far apart.
You get used to those shortcut keys, right?
But when I go back into the office, I close the lid, I pop it in a docking station, and then I grab the mouse.
Yeah.
When I'm on my RT, I'm almost all of the time touch. I occasionally will get out the Bluetooth mouse, and then if I'm going to write an email or something, then I'm likely going to get my Bluetooth keyboard because I haven't
get in there
yet fully trained my fingers where to be on the touch keyboard.
Yeah.
But the key thing is it doesn't matter. When you build an app, it's going to run Windows 8 and any app that runs on it is going to work just as well with touch as with mouse and keyboard. So I don't have touch is is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You can still get Windows 8. You got mouse and keyboard. You got monitors. You can still get all of the advantages of Windows 8.
Yeah.
And then you can use touch in scenarios where it makes sense. Mobile scenarios, obviously. Newer machines are going to increasingly have touch enabled. But it's an option. Touch is an option.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
No, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, thanks for coming by, talking about those internal line of business applications and sideloading. Folks, if you need more information, I will post links to some of these applications in the Windows Store, as well as there's a great TechNet article on sideloading and all the things that you need to have and go and acquire that. So I'll post those links below.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
So did you learn you something about some line of business applications, buddy?
Dude, you schooled me on LOBs. Very, very interesting. I didn't know, you know, and Robert sits like across the hall from me, and I never knew that this is what he does and what he can do. This is awesome.
It's kind of cool. All right, folks, as always, we want to hear from you. Catch us on the Twitters, twitter.com, Twitter.
Let me get that for you. It's
at
sign, at sign TN Edge.
Yes.
And if you're old school, you prefer good old fashioned email, it is edge@microsoft.com. And finally, as we always like to say, down below in the comments area, shoot us a note.
Yeah.
Tell us how we're doing.
Get us your star ratings, everything else, if there's anything you want to see, those kinds of things. We'll be in Vegas next week, so we hope to see you live. Come say hi.
Yeah.
Look for the green hat if you're out there. Come say hi. Otherwise, that's it for Edge Show number 57. We'll catch you from Las Vegas, Nevada next week. Cheers, everyone.
See ya.